Hi, I'm Meredith.
Hi, I'm Joseph, and you are listening to Are You Waiting for Permission?
It's a podcast for those who don't want to wait any longer.
Good morning, Meredith.
Good afternoon, Joseph Bennett.
Oh, good afternoon, different time zones.
We
are.
You know
what? Today is a very special day.
We open with a good morning every single episode. And I think in three episodes, we've said we've got to change our introduction. And then we just keep doing
okay.
It.
Hey, kid.
What's up, dude?
Hey, today's a really special day.
What's going on?
This is the very first time we have ever had a guest come back. Nobody else has ever come back before.
Oh, I guess we're good.
Well, we were good.
I come back every week.
Oh, Deborah, we are so happy that you're back. Thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Deborah Poneman came back. She is here for her second interview.
Because we just felt like our conversation with Deborah could have just continued on for another, few hours, millennium. So welcome back, Deborah.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I've been looking forward to this. Really?
Me too. And for our few listeners that missed the first episode of Deborah, you may have missed the introduction. So I'm going to get that out of the way right now.
Okay.
Deborah Poneman is an internationally renowned success expert. She's a sought after speaker, seminar leader, and best-selling author. Since 1981, she has empowered tens of thousands of people around the world to live the life of their dreams. She provides a step-by-step system to create both financial abundance and true and unshakable happiness and success. And I can attest to that because I have taken three, count them folks, three of Deborah's courses. And I am happy and successful because of it. So thank you, thank you. And here you are.
Here I am. You know, I have to tell you, three is a lot, but you are like so far from the record holder. You know that.
Yes, Janet Atwood. Yes. 47,000 times she took it.
17 times. But, and you know Janet because she came down to Mexico and she did a fabulous program down there with the best cast. And then, of course, second place is Marcy Shimoff with 12, having taken the course 12 times. So, you got to take it a lot more time.
I do. Hey, Deborah, we're going to start off this morning with an improv game. Since you're in Chicago and that's the heartland of improv, Meredith is going to lead us through Rosebud Thorn. Take it away, Grandi.
Well, I co-opted it and made it into an improv exercise. This is something I do at dinner with my family so that we can talk about something positive, something that was like, meh, and then something that we're looking forward to. So it's Rosebud Thorn. And so I will start as the example, which is my rose today, something I'm looking forward to. Something I'm happy about is that I get to spend some quality time here talking with the both of you, which is lovely. My thorn is that I had to put my sweet kitty down last Thursday, and it is a heck of a lot more painful than I thought it would be. And so I'm navigating that. He's been my constant for 19 years. I found him in Chicago. I found him in Lincoln Square where I was living at the time. And so that is hard. He was an alley cat. And then my bud, I am looking forward to, I'm going to be teaching a workshop for the first time since the pandemic hit, live and in person, on Friday. So I'm very much looking forward to that. I am now going to pass this on to you, my lovely Deborah.
Okay. So the first one is
in any order,
A
rose, a bud, or a thorn.
Okay, so the rose is something wonderful, like in the current life. Okay, well, the rose is this last weekend, I took two of my godchildren to a water park.
Yay, I love water parks.
And it's one of the largest indoor water parks in the U.S. It's called like Wolf Lodge something. And it's up in Gurnee. I know they're all over the place. And Braden is 4.5. And Kaysen is going to be 3. No, is he going to be 4? He's going to be 4. Anyway, so I thought, I love my kids and I wanted to go, but I thought it'd be kind of torturous, you know, and I was doing it just so they would be happy. I had the best time. I went on all the big slides, woo, you know, all the way down. And I'm like, come on, let's go again. And it was, I just had the time of my life. And it wasn't one of those places that had horrible food. They had a wonderful adult restaurant and their dads came with. And you know, it just, everybody had the, we had the best time. Mm. So, and then and we bumped into like old friends. There is the craziest, all kinds of coincidences. Now the thorn is that my godchildren and the thorn is that Taekwon, who is Braden's dad, just got a brand new car and he hadn't gotten insurance yet and he was driving it out of the lot, seriously, to get it home. And somebody rear-ended him.
No.
Yes. And he called me. He calls me mom. He says, Mom. And he was on the freeway in Chicago. He says, what am I going to do? The guy didn't have insurance. He didn't have insurance. It was so heartbreaking because he was so excited about this car. I mean, it wasn't brand. It was a used car, but it was a BMW. And now the fender is cracked. So that was kind of sad last night. And what I'm looking forward to is I am leaving this weekend and I am going to go to the Optimum Health Institute in Lemon Grove, California for a week. Lots of wheatgrass juice, lots of fresh juice, lots of raw, lots of fasting, lots of colonics. And I am so excited. I go at least twice a year and I just look forward to cleansing. So
I love it.
I love that. That's a hard act to follow. So for me, my rose, something that's working really well in my life that I'm enjoying is that I'm healthy and there's been no COVID in my family. So that's huge. And my heart goes out to those that are suffering with that damn virus. The thorn in my side is that I'll have to come back to that. I don't have anything right now. The bud that I'm looking forward to is that I'm getting ready to send my manuscript to the editor, my second editor, so that she can have a pass at it and look at it. So that's me. Thank you. I don't have a thorn.
Oh my goodness.
What's the manuscript for what? I don't know about this.
It's a manuscript. It's a self-healing book called Rest, The Art of Doing Less. And it's for those who are exhausted and overwhelmed and addicted to busyness. And it's a workbook type of book and helping people give themselves permission to let go and rest.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I want a copy.
Thank you.
I totally want a copy. Mm-hmm. I'll buy the first one.
Yay.
So last night, my husband, Eli, who knows Deborah well, I said, what would you love to ask Deborah? And he said he had two questions for you. And I'm sorry, they're not easy questions, but I know you're up to the task because you are full of wisdom. And he said, why is there so much polarity in the world right now? That's the first question. And the second question, Deborah, is what the fudge can we do about it? I added the fudge part.
All right. So my answer is, you know, it sounds like a platitude, but remember I had that near-death experience. I don't know if I shared it.
You didn't?
I didn't. Mm-mm. Okay. So about 6 years ago, whenever I get sick, you know, I actually don't get sick. Whenever I feel like I'm coming down with something, I take a little echinacea, a little golden seal, a little C, a little, you know, some electrolytes. I knock it out. And I have been sick in forever. And about 6 years ago, I felt like I had some kind of sore throat, flu-y thing coming on. So I did my usual stuff and it didn't go away. It was on a Monday. And by Tuesday, I was a little bit sicker. I thought that's unusual. And Wednesday, I was sicker. Thursday, by Saturday, I was more sick than I had ever remembered being. I mean, it was really awful. And so I did what any intelligent person would do. I called my local healer. I said, help. And he said, I will help you, but you have to promise that you do exactly what I tell you to do. I said, anything. I thought I was dying. I really did. It was that bad. He said, call 911 immediately. So I couldn't even call 911 because by that time I was like going. And so he called 911. The paramedics came. They had to break in my door because I couldn't even get up to answer the door. They said, what hospital did you want to go to? I whispered Evanston. They commiserated and realized I might not make it to Evanston Hospital, which was about 11 minutes away. So they took me to a little hospital around the corner. And when I got into the ER, they started hooking me up to every machine possible to save my life and every, you know, something tubes down every orifice. And my blood pressure, by the way, was something like 52 over 28. As they say, I was in a state incompatible with life. And so while they're rushing around trying to save my life, I start dying. And I had this experience where I didn't go down any kind of long tunnel of light, but I went into this place where when my eyes were open, I could see everybody rushing around trying to save my life. And when my eyes were closed, I could also see everybody rushing around trying to save my life. But I saw that everything was guided by a divine light, that the movement of the doctor's hands and movement of the nurse's hands, that there were, you know how we say there are no mistakes in the universe? There were, I saw with my own eye in that place between life and death, that there are no mistakes in the universe. And I want to finish that story, but to, you know, the truth is that everything is perfect. And it is so hard to believe that when we see the polarity, when we see the ill will, when we see the hatred. Mm-hmm. I mean, not only politically, but right now, like people who are vexed and not vexed, it's like, what the heck? But the other thing that I saw was not only, I'll give you an example. One of the nurses kind of fumbled an IV bag and then dropped it on the gurney. And everybody shot her these glances like, you idiot, you know, you just dropped that IV bag. But I saw that when she bent down to pick it up, another nurse saw a monitor and ran to the other side of the room and made an adjustment that saved my life. Had she not dropped that IV bag that looked like a big mistake, I could be dead right now. So it's all orchestrated by a divine light. And we all know that this too shall pass. We all know that as much as it sucks, and it sucks, that we have in our personal life and our political life, there have been times where we thought that it couldn't get any worse. I mean, look at things like the Holocaust. But I'll tell you something. What our job is as human beings is that we think that we are helpless. You know, there's this quote from St. Thomas Aquinas, while injustice is the worst of sins, despair is the most dangerous. Despair is the most dangerous. So for us to sit around and be in despair over what's happening in the world, that's really dangerous. And the other thing that I saw during my near-death experience was that at one point, it didn't look good. It looked like I was going to die. And my husband, who was actually I was separated from him. He was still my dear, wonderful friend, and he still is, but we weren't living together. And the healer had called him and he came over to the emergency room. And when he came in, it didn't look good. And I saw he had these, like, he was sitting over to my left and I saw he had these tears running down his face. And when the nurse saw that, the nurse went over and put her hand on his shoulder and said, don't worry, she's going to be fine. There was no reason for her to say that, but I saw in that place between life and death that when she said the words, she's going to be fine, I saw that they were accompanied by this light, and it was like this pink kind of sparkly light, like My Little Pony, like rainbow, like doo-doo. She's going to be fine went out of the nurse's mouth, went into my body, and gave me strength in every cell of my being. And I thought, oh my goodness, in that place between life and death, I thought to myself, your word is your wand. You know that book by Catherine Ponder, Your Word is Your Wand. Your word is your wand. Your word does have dominion over life and death. And thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be added unto you. And then the doctor came in, saw what was going on in the monitors, and said, get her blood pressure up, or we are going to lose her. And I saw that when he said, we're going to lose her, the words were accompanied by this like brown gray gunk. It even smelled, it smelled like a swamp. And it went out of his mouth, we're going to lose her. It went into my body, and it took all of my strength away. And at that moment, I made a deal with God. I said, God, please let me live. And I promise that I will tell people the power of their words. I also promised that I would never say anything that I didn't want to manifest, including, oh, my son is so this, my daughter is so this. You know, you say these things about your kids, like, oh, he's so that. I said, I promise I will never, because I saw in the place between life and death that if I say, oh, my son is so forgetful or whatever, I'm making him forgetful. Or my daughter is so, and she's not lazy at all. So I'll just say, you know, my daughter is so lazy. She's the least lazy person in the world, but it would make her lazy. So I made that commitment that I would never say do that again. And what I say about all the division and the and what's happening is that we're all going into this place of despair, and we talk about how bad it is, and we talk about how there's no way out. So what I say, like St. Thomas Aquinas, despair is the worst of sins. Stop talking about how bad it is, and let's look for the silver lining, because what we put our attention on is what's going to grow. Our word is our wand. So let's talk about and the good parts. Let's talk about how, like when I was at the water park with my godsons, because my godsons are both Black, and they would just go and play with the little white boys, and then nobody knew the difference. It wasn't like you're Black, you're white. They just played like they were a band of brothers, running around and running up and down the halls. So let's put our attention on the beauty and the unity that does exist, because that way we can contribute to the world that we want. And we all have that power, the power of our thoughts.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. For some of us, my dear, you know this already, but for some of us, and I'm thinking of our listeners, our words become habituated, right? Our complaining becomes habituated, and certainly our gossip does as well. How do we begin, even minutely, how do we begin to shift away from that habituation?
You know, well, you know this, Joseph, from having taken my courses. I don't think that creating a good life or a great life is very complicated. I think it's actually very simple. Life is simple. Everything happens for you, not to you. You don't have to like it. It's just easier if you do. That's a quote from Byron Katie. Everything happens for you, not to you. But now I forgot what your question was, because I started quoting from Byron Katie. What's the question?
Yeah, well, she's a whole nother subject of wonderful work. If you listener don't know the work of Byron Katie, check out Love.
Oh, I know. What's a step we could take? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to start getting away from that habituation.
Yeah. The first step is becoming aware. Okay. The first step is becoming aware that thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be added unto you. And just today, okay, so now we're all aware of this. We're aware of the power of our words, because what happens is that the more you repeat the same story over and over and over, the more you gossip over and over and over, it actually creates neural pathways in your brain. And your brain actually emits a feel-good chemical. Okay, so we're to, oh, so-and-so, that Diane, she, blah, 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 blah. because we get, our brain is habituated to, we see something, we're negative about it. We create these neural pathways. And I know it sounds really sad, but we emit this feel good chemical in our brain. So we want to keep doing it because we get a high from it. It's like a drug in our brain. So it's not that easy to break a habit, like the gossip habit. But what you have to do is first become aware of it. And when you become aware and something negative is coming out of you, you know, you could do it with your friends, play the negativity game. And that is when you find, when your friend says something negative, you go, ah, you know, and you catch each other. You got to have permission first. Don't catch anybody without their permission, because then you're just annoying.
And then charge them $10 whenever they say something negative, right?
Right. And what you do is, actually, Janet,
it's like a swear jar, right?
But then what you do is you replace it with something that you want, that you decree. And then what happens is eventually you create new neural pathways so that the feel good chemical is emitted when you say something positive or something that you do want to manifest on earth. And the way I teach my students to do it, there's a book that was written in 1932. It's a pamphlet by Emmett Fox, and it's called The 7-Day Mental Diet. And what I charge them to do, well, not charge money, I, you know, give them the charge to do, is for 7 days, just for 7 days. So you don't have to do it for the rest of your life. Notice when your word is your want and you're creating something that you don't want, or you're being negative, because negativity just attracts more negativity. You know, I talked about this last time, that we are like tuning forks. And if you, an F sharp tuning fork repels everything but F sharp. If a B flat comes towards it, it repels it. Right. So if you are always talking about how poor you are, you're never going to get out of debt, you're never going to find your soulmate, there are no good men in Chicago, you are vibrating with no good men in Chicago, and you're repelling any good men that could possibly come in your direction. So instead, what you want to do is you want to vibrate with the vibration of great men, lots of prosperity, you know, like that. And then you, like that tuning fork, you will attract it. So what the 7-day mental diet does is that it makes you aware for 7 days. You know, and most people have a hard time getting through 7 hours of not expressing negativity or gossiping or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But when you just give yourself that finite period of time, and you can get the 7-day mental diet pamphlet on the internet. It's there for the taking. And Emmett Fox says that it is harder than any physical fasting, this any diet. He says, because it was written in 1932, it was any army calisthenics, you know, that it is harder than anything that you'll ever do, any fasting, any diet. And I agree. And just for true confessions, I started doing this in 1981, and it took me over 30 years to get through 7 days. Mm. I finally did it just a couple years ago. But at first, it was hard for me to get through a couple hours, and then a day. It took me years to get through an entire day. But that's how you do it. You take it step by step, because you are like a tuning fork. And if you want to attract negativity into your life, knock yourself out. But it's the law of attraction 101. And read Napoleon Hill, the great master of success and prosperity, Think and Grow Rich. It's all he talks about is the law of attraction and how we attract good or negativity into our life. It's up to us. So the first thing you do is just give yourself 1 day, and then you can graduate to the 7-day mental diet. But if you do it for 7 days, you will form a habit that you will have for the rest of your life. And then you'll only attract into your life what you want. And also, here's the thing, you know, we want a world at peace, but if you're like an angry, mad, negative person, do you think, and maybe you're angry and mad, negative about what's going on in the world, but are you really being an addition to peace, or are you doing, being a contribution to more horribleness? So a forest is only as green as its trees. So be a green tree. See the beauty, see the unity, see the grace, see the silver lining. And there always is a silver lining to everything. And I know it's not easy, okay? But And actually, I want to cancel that. It can be easy. You just have to get going.
I do have a question. I love all of this. In fact, literally just before we got on this call, I did a TikTok about negative self-talk and in relationship to public speaking and presentation skills, and encouraging people to write down their experience and then transform it into a better belief system, and to ask the question, is this how you would speak to your own child or to your best friend? And if it's not, then transform that language into a more positive language and use that for yourself. And so I'm really enjoying this conversation. Mm-hmm. I think my question for, and I would imagine a lot of my listeners right now, our listeners are thinking, yeah, but I have so many friends that are just kind of negative Nellies. What do I do? How do I create boundaries around that? Do I have to get rid of my friends? I mean, what do you know what I mean? So I'm curious about what kind of advice would you offer our listeners who feel like that could be a really painful move in their life?
Yeah. Well, my answer is, you might want to get new friends. However, because think about my experience in the emergency room. It wasn't my thoughts about myself that were causing me to die. It was the doctor saying, we're going to lose her. So it was other people's thoughts and words about me that affected my life. So first of all, you want to only hang out with people who are your cheerleaders. You only want to hang out with people who want the best for you, because their thoughts are very powerful. And the other thing that we have to do is we have to put on our big girl pants, and we have to tell our friends, say, I love you so much, but I would really love for you to give this a try. Something that I learned, and that is, I want you to think only the best about me. Hmm. And I only want you to think the best about yourself. I learned this thing that we could do. And that is when we hear ourselves speaking a negative thought, we could just pick a stop word like stop or cancel, and then replace it with something that we do want to manifest in our life. Because I'm on this trajectory now to creating a great life for myself. And I know that this is the basis of it. And I want this for you too. Will you play? You know, and then if they won't, then I would limit my time with those people, sorry to say. But you know what? Life is too precious. What are you doing with this one precious moment? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. And who is that, Mary? What's her name?
Oliver. Mary Oliver.
Yes, Mary Oliver, with this one precious life. Mm-hmm. And so I would say the other thing that you can do is, you know, the Ho'oponopono, do you not?
Yes.
Joseph does, Meredith does. Yeah. And for those,
but our listeners don't. Please go ahead, because our listeners don't.
So the listeners who don't know what the Ho'oponopono is, it's an ancient Hawaiian kahuna prayer. It was actually used by the high priest that if somebody's life wasn't going well, they got sickness, it was thought that they had, insulted the gods. And they did this prayer to bring them back into right alignment with the gods. And it was called the Ho'oponopono. And it's four sentences. I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And a doctor named Dr. Len, doesn't matter. He was a doctor at a prison for the mentally insane, and these people that they thought there was no way that Hugh Len is his name, and that there was no way that they were criminally insane, and they were violent, and they had to be like strapped down, and there was nothing anybody could do about these people. So he decided to, being in Hawaii, to do the Ho'oponopono. So what he would do is he would just take like a file out for each person, and he would hold that person in their heart and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry, for each of the prisoners for about 5 minutes a day. And within a few months, they stopped being violent. And within a few more months, they didn't need their restraints. And within a few more months, they were going on field trips. This is the truth. In a few more months, they were released into a much less secure situation where they had freedom to move around. And eventually, because of Dr. Lin's doing the Ho'oponopono, they closed the unit because it wasn't needed anymore. And basically, the reason why you say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you, is because the belief is that anything that is wrong on this planet, we have a part in it. It's not, you know, Donald Trump or Joe Biden or, you know, whoever. We are contributing to whatever the division, whatever it is. So if we want to, like, for example, let's say we have some hatred towards Donald Trump, instead, he's such a jerk, he's this, he's that, you're making it worse, you're adding to it. Okay. So instead, you take responsibility and you say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And you hold him in your heart, and it might be hard at first, or maybe, you know, for one of the listeners, it's Joe Biden, that you have to hold in your heart.
He's our top listener.
Right. But in what happens is that you will see, you know, and if you do it for people in your life, like your friends who are negative Nellies, you can see magic happen because, hey, you are contributing to it in some way. We're responsible for everything. I just want to tell you a very quick story. My dear friend, Marcy Shymoff, who I think both of you know of, and she wrote a gazillion chicken soup books and Happy for No Reason, Love for No Reason. She tells a story about how when her mother was moving, they were moving their mother out of their childhood home. Their father had already passed away. And she and her sister and her brother were packing all of her mother's stuff. And she says she doesn't even remember why, but she and her sister were not talking to each other. They had not been talking to each other for a long time. And here they were moving out of their childhood home. And Marcy just, you know, her beautiful heart, she just couldn't take it anymore. She went out to her car and she held her sister in her heart. I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. She did it for about 15 minutes and she felt a shift. And she went inside and she opened the door, and her sister, who hadn't been talking to her for many months, came running towards her and gave her a huge hug and says, I love you so much. I don't even remember why we weren't talking, but took her by the hand, and the whole rest of the time they just packed their mother's stuff together.
Beautiful.
So for our listener, Deborah, can you also, oh my God, that's gorgeous. I've heard that story before and I still love it. For our listener, can you teach us how to do the Ho'oponopono for ourselves?
Yes.
It's not for Donald Trump. It's not for Marcy's sister. How do we do it for ourselves?
Same thing. It's like when you are, you know, what we do is we beat ourselves up a lot. As you said, Meredith, like when somebody is speaking, you know, speak to yourself like you would speak to a beloved child. You wouldn't say a tenth of the things that you say to yourself to your beloved child, right? So, and it's the same thing. Instead of when you find yourself beating yourself up, that was so stupid, I can't believe you did that, you'll never be this, you'll never be that, just, of course, we want to say cancel, and then we could say something beautiful about ourselves. And we could also just use the tool of the Ho'oponopono, hold ourselves in our hearts. And I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I just said that about you. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. Over and over until it shifts. And when you feel the shift, you'll have a smile on your face, and then you can go about your time, your day.
Thank you for that. So there was a story, Deborah, of you with a girlfriend, I believe, in an outdoor cafe, and you were bemoaning, I'll use the G-rated, bemoaning about a teacher that neither one of you liked. And you were saying that, I think it was a she.
Yes. Sure,
he or she. Rah, 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 rah. Uh-huh. And then you caught each other and you decided to do what?
Oh, one of my favorite techniques. Okay. So I was sitting at Panera with my friend Mary Pat, and Mary Pat Knight, founder of Leaders Inspired. She's a wonderful teacher herself, and she could be a great guest for you, by the way. Brilliant on leadership. And So we were talking about this teacher who had we had both become disillusioned with. And when we would get together, there would always be this part of our conversation that would drift back to this teacher and all of the quote unquote horrible things she had done. And, you know, we were talking about my kids, her kids, and then we start talking about this teacher and the energy just plummets, you know, when you're speaking ill of other people, it just plummets. And then we decided to play the appreciation game. And the appreciation game is we go back and forth and say one thing that we appreciate about this teacher. So I said, you know, really, her teachings made a huge difference in my life. And I gave an example and then Mary Pat says, yes. And she made a huge difference in my life. We gave an example. And then I said, and I also love how much she really cares about her students. And then, anyway, so we went back and forth. And by the end, we were actually weeping. We were weeping because we felt so much love in our heart for this teacher. So it's just another great technique to raise the tuning fork, to raise the vibration. And instead of contributing to the negativity on the planet, and you can do that. And you know what? You can find some good about everyone. You know, we know hurt people. And even we look at our political leaders who it's really can be not the easiest thing in the world to find something good. But, you know, you look back and into their lives and usually they were just, you know, just sad kids wanting attention, wanting to be somebody. And they just bring that into their adult life. So we also can have some compassion.
Yeah, that's something I often tell my daughter is lead with compassion. She's at that age now where, you know, girls can be kind of nasty to each other. And she's 10 and they start forming clubs and all these really funny things to kind of highlight their social dynamics. And so that has been a big conversation in our house as school has started.
Yeah. I know. And that beautiful innocence where they believe that, that, you know, there, I don't know if any of you, if either of you took AST or Landmark, but you know, they, there's this concept of break and belonging. And it's the moment where you realize that life isn't just sunshine, lollipops and rainbows. And you have this break and belonging. And it's the moment that you see that there is junk in the world, you know, that is not pretty. And it's just so sad when you see your kids having that break in belonging, that they see that there are mean people. But fortunately, we do have tools to give to our children so that they do see the good. And I'll tell you something else. The thing that we could do for our kids more than anything else is be the teacher who lives the teaching. I have to tell you the greatest moment of my life, if there are parents listening, no, one time my husband and I went out to dinner and a movie. And after the dinner, we decided we didn't want to go to the movie. So we came home like 3 hours early. And our son was having a Home Alone party, like a major.
Oh, no.
He thought he had 3 more hours and the house was filled with kids, you know, and they were downstairs and they were drinking. And he must have been maybe 15, 15 or 16, something like that. And so what we did for his punishment was, first of all, he had to clean up everything, that we weren't going to clean anything. And he couldn't leave the house until he cleaned up everything and it was back to exactly the way it looked when we left. And his other quote unquote punishment is that he had to read the book, 7 Habits of Highly Successful Teens, and annotate it and give us a book report.
Oh, brilliant. Can I steal that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it was a life-changing moment for him. He absolutely, he thanks us for it to this day. And I'll tell you, and this isn't to brag, but this is just something that I'll share. One time I was at a gathering of my students and it was in Chicago. It was a retreat. And I invited my son and his beautiful girlfriend, Amelia, to lunch with us. And one of the women said to my son, you know, you are so lucky to have your mom as a mother. And was she always quoting to you from Napoleon Hill and Wallace Wattles and Emma Stone and, you know, and Stephen Covey? And he went like this. He's, you know, and that's what, because my son's very, very successful, young man. And they said, and that's probably the reason why you're so successful. And he thought about it for a minute and he said, you know, I don't remember my mother quoting from Napoleon Hill to me once, not once. And he said, but two things that changed my life. One was the moment that they punished me by making me read Seven Habits of Highly Successful Teens. But other than that, I think I'm successful because I watched how my parents lived their lives. And so I'm sharing that because they're watching. And if we're not coherent, if we say one thing and do the other, if we, you know, tell our children to live one way and we're not living that way, trust me, they see, they notice, and it gives them permission to like live up not in integrity or to say one thing and do the other. So just know that your actions, of course, more than your words, are making an impression on your children and all of the children in your life.
Yeah.
Thank you. That feels pretty complete to me. How about you, Meredith?
There were so many nuggets in what you just laid down in the last 30 minutes that I feel complete and inspired. And I'm loving the resources that you've also given for our listeners and for myself. And so I just want to say thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome.
Deborah, where can our listeners connect with you and follow you and find you?
YesToSuccess.com is the name of my company. It's YESTO, not the number two, YESTO success.com. And you know, I teach Yes to Success, my seminar, and I've been teaching it for, as you pointed out, over 40 years. And I've also, you know, that I teach meditation. I've been teaching meditation for 50 years. And I also teach a course called Ageless. I've only been teaching that for a couple of years, but it's anti-aging sacred. Well, you can figure out how old I am. I'm going to be, maybe you can't see me, but you can figure it out. But yes, I teach anti-aging secrets for your brain, your body, and your future with a Harvard-trained mind-body researcher. So those are the things that I do, and it can all be found at YesToSuccess.com. Thank you for asking.
Lovely. And I just have to, tell our listeners right now that we're looking at Deborah, who's sitting in her little Zoom box. She's wearing a beautiful, bright red summer dress. And behind her, there are a dozen red roses. And so I had to call that out just to bring it full circle, since we started with Rosebud Thorn, and you are just a light. It is such a delight to have you. Thank you.
And my thorn is that this episode is over.
And my rose is that I got to be with you for the last half hour plus, and I love you both.
So much appreciation.
Thank you.
See
you soon.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of Are You Waiting for Permission? If you like what you heard, please like, comment, subscribe, and leave us a review. We would sure appreciate it. Also, we want to give a special shout out to Amy Shelley and Gary Grundy of High Fiction for letting us use their music in this podcast. All right, my friends, until next week, bye.